Please read our first time certain council item number 68.
Accept the Centers and Corridors Parking Management Toolkit as a technical reference and direct Bureau of Transportation staff to seek community input to establish a new area parking permit pilot.
Commissioner Saltzman.
Council President. We are considering two initiatives that will help us to better manage the supply of parking in both our commercial areas and our neighborhoods. The first is a toolkit of parking strategies, programs, and policies that we can use to maintain a good balance between the supply and demand for public parking spaces. The second initiative will provide the Portland Bureau of Transportation, or PBOT, with the authority to proceed with two pilots to test new area parking programs in Portland neighborhoods. With good parking management, we can help facilitate a high quality of the healthy for healthy business districts and neighborhoods. And I want to now turn it over to our Transportation Bureau Director, Leah Treat, and Mauricio Leclerc for an overview of this important policy initiative.
Great. Thank you, Commissioner Saltzman. Good morning, Commissioners Fritz and Udaly. Today, we are taking another step in updating our parking policies and tools to better serve the needs of our growing city. The toolkit that's before you today provides a set of best practices for managing parking and for managing our curb space. Parking plays a key role in the economic vitality of our city, and it also contributes to the quality of life in our neighborhoods. And our goal is to effectively manage the supply and demand. And when we do this, we make it easy and convenient for customers to visit our businesses and for residents to find parking in their communities. The toolkit that's before you today helps us achieve these goals by providing guidance on a comprehensive set of issues from signage and time stays to permitting. We are requesting authority to develop two new parking permit pilot areas. These pilots are in direct response to what we've heard from communities across the city. And as Commissioner Saltzman mentioned, PBOT receives numerous requests from neighborhoods and businesses to take a more proactive approach to manage parking in their communities. So with these pilots, we can test the most effective ways to meet the parking needs in the city. And both of the pilots are going to be modeled on what we've done in Northwest Portland in Zone M. We developed the Northwest Parking Program through extensive consultation and collaboration with community stakeholders, and we're going to take the same approach in the two new pilot neighborhoods. So before you today is one part of a comprehensive process to bring Portland's parking strategy up to industry standards and help us manage our growth. We started this process in 2014 in conjunction with the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, and we have spoken to thousands of Portlanders and have held dozens of community briefings and open houses. And the input that we heard through those processes helped to shape the toolkit we're presenting today. And in addition, in the coming months, we're going to be returning to you with additional results of the process, including an update and report on the Northwest Parking Pilot, the proposed citywide parking strategy, and our proposed off-street policy. With that, I'm now going to turn it over to Mauricio to provide the detailed overview of the toolkit.
Good morning. Before you is a resolution basically to accept the parking Centers and Corridor Parking Management Toolkit as a technical reference document. This is the document. It's available online. And also to direct, as Leah mentioned, PBOT to seek community input to establish a new area parking permit pilot in an area that doesn't currently have such a program. So the presentation outline, a brief PowerPoint, will cover first about the toolkit and then the area parking permit program and the next steps. So as mentioned, we had a committee that worked on this, a large committee that worked on this, representative of people from all over the city and businesses and residents. We worked on it through 2014 and 2015. We arrived at a unanimous recommendation in December. We had dozens of meetings in open houses. We held a parking symposium 2 years ago. And we had a work session with council, and we met several times with the Planning and Sustainability Commission on these topics. If you recall, while we're here in 2013, the council introduced minimum parking requirements for multi-dwelling units. That was in response to the growth and the complaints from neighborhoods that, you know, they were being overwhelmed by spillover parking effects. That ordinance included a directive to PBOT to revise the area parking permit program. So we followed up with an a grant to ODOT, and we got awarded the grant to actually initiate that process. That process is the, you know, ended up with the parking toolkit and some recommendations about area parking permit program. In 2014-15, we met with the committee and we worked on the recommendations that are before you. And in 2016, if you recall, as part of the comprehensive plan amendment and the zoning code amendment, we amended the code again to basically effectively eliminate minimum parking requirements in the area of good transit service by excluding units with affordable housing. You know. So we're again, we're back to, we removed parking minimum, but we still have to do work to manage our on-street parking. So basically, also as part of the comprehensive plan, we adopted new policies on parking that tells us that, among other things, we need to better manage off-street parking, on-street parking, make sure that they both work together, that we are very careful about the management of the curb zone, which is an important asset, and that and we've done that as part of this plan. So basically, what are we expecting? Why is this so important? Because we are a growing city, actually a fastly growing city, and more growth is coming as part of the comprehensive plan. We expect 260,000 new residents and 140,000 new jobs. And most of the growth, 70% or more, will take place in these centers and corridors, you know, the areas that you see in the map with circles or lines. So it is very important, you know, that's where we want to concentrate our growth and make sure that we manage the space within those areas very carefully. So what is basically the problem? So when you translate this map on the ground, what happens? Well, when it comes to parking, basically parking supply gets tighter as commercial districts redevelop, which is what we want. We want them to thrive. And that leads to high demand for limited parking spaces on the street. That leads to parking demand spills that over the adjacent areas, often other zone, and residential zone, single-family residential zone. Main Street customers often can find parking or find it very hard to, you know, find parking to go to those businesses that we want to support. So basically, we determined that new tools and strategies were needed to guide parking management over time as these areas change and evolve. So we developed a toolkit. It has each of these shelves that we're calling it has dozens of strategies, so it's not my intent to go through them, but just basically to provide a framework of reference to see how we see the shelf and in the toolkit being used. Basically, there are seven steps, and we want to use them pretty much sequentially. So before, number seven would be, in this case, create a new parking supply. Well, for that to work, we should be working hard to make sure that we tap into shelf 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, so that we manage the system efficiently. Some of these tools don't work unless we tackle something from the previous shelf. So shelf 1 is user information. I'll provide an example of each of these. Shelf 2 is transportation demand management. Shelf 3, manage existing parking supply. Shelf 4, enforcement. Shelf 5, implement and manage an area parking permit program. Shelf 6 is implement and manage paid parking. And 7, create new parking supply. So basically, these are, you know, this is a matrix that I won't go through. But basically, on the column side, which is, I need to, you know, twist my head to read it. Basically,
can I just say, you guys do a great job on the PowerPoints. This is probably too much information for the public to see. Yeah. So let's just remember whenever we can, bigger fonts and less information, because I think this is probably
for this slide, someone
to read.
Yeah, it was basically to highlight that these seven strategies address a host of issues related to parking. So, example, limited transportation options or low turnover, you know. So basically, by seeing the dots, you can see, we can kind of go back into the toolkit and say, what is the problem that we have here, and what are the tools that address certain problems? So the toolkit itself has this table and a lot more information to it, and we provide it on the website. So basically, to provide a little bit of a flavor enough as to what's in the toolkit, user information, what do we mean by that? You know, you can see an example on the right, you know, that the Smart Park sign that is on the west side of the Morrison Bridge coming into downtown provides, for example, consistent parking branding. Smart Park is a brand that people recognize. Also, we find wayfinding and signage. We can tell people where to find the parking and actually how many spaces are available. So that's one of the tools. Shelf 2 would be transportation demand management. You know, see if we can get people to use the car less often. So some incentives could be bike share programs and bike parking. For example, in Northwest Portland, where we're doing the first pilot, you know, we are providing options for people to not have the parking permit and instead get a transit pass or a bike share membership.
Who provides that transit pass?
Yeah, PBAT.
And that's using the parking revenues?
Yes.
It'll be permit revenues.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Transportation demand management is, you know, we already covered that. So
I'm sorry, just one more question about that while I'm here. Is there enough money for everybody who wants transit pass to get one?
I do not know the answer, but we have had, it's a new program, and we've had over 100 people, mostly residents, but also some employees, and even employers opt out of their permit and take either a transit pass or bike pass. I can get back to you on that. You know, that's another time. So on the third...
The answer is yes.
And that's not means tested?
No, although we...
Means tested. Why don't you just come on?
Yeah. We have a... Northwest, we do have a... people who are low income pay a lower rate for things, you know.
I'm sorry to interrupt your presentation.
Yeah.
Please go on.
Okay. So Shell 3, better manage the on-street resources. For example, we have an example, we could use valet operations. You know, if you cannot find parking on the street, maybe somebody can, take your car and drive it somewhere else where there is more supply. Or implement time restrictions, which is we do on Hawthorne and other areas, 3 hours, 2 hours, and so forth. Enforcement is important. It's a mechanism in which we can let the public know that rules matter and that we have the rules for a reason. So we can do that by providing citations, but also issue warnings, which actually are a friendly way in which we educate people, but we also let them know that they need to follow the rules. Shell 5, it's update the parking permit program, which we'll touch a little bit in about three slides. And six, paid parking, which we have in downtown in Northwest, and which is a higher level shelf. We're hoping to tap into the other shelves prior to this. And finally, create new parking supply. We have here an example of car stackers, which is a more efficient way to use limited space.
Back one picture for a second.
Yes. Which?
You had the old version of our parking meters. That one. Now that I rent in Northwest and walk to work, and this is my neighborhood, I use this particular meter a lot more. Mm-hmm. And I know you know this, but when it's dark outside or raining, it is extremely difficult to operate the meter.
Okay.
Partly because it's not illuminated the way the other system is, partly because you have to crouch, get down, have to bend down and read it. And then you have to align what you're doing with markers. And I'll just tell you, and maybe it's because my eyes aren't so great, I find it very hard to operate that after hours. And I hope that's something we can think about in the future, because I would not call it user-friendly.
Okay.
Thank you for the feedback.
No, also we have Parking Kitty, if you don't know, in which you can use your app to pay for parking.
So we need a tutorial.
No doubt. We can provide that.
But occasionally when I borrow my daughter's car, this one is very hard to operate.
Okay, yeah. Noted. Thank you. So that's basically how we want to use the toolkit. It's a way in which with the committee and with us, we learn about new best practices. We learn with the community that there are options out there and that they need come. They can come to businesses and areas can come to PBAT, and we'll have a broad set of tools for which to work and customize something that works for them. So that's the first part of the resolution. The second one is about initiating a new a pilot for the area parking permit program. So again, going back to this slide of what problem are we addressing? These areas are getting tighter, and demand spills over other areas. Main Street customers are finding it hard to park. But also the existing parking permit program that's today in the code, Title 16, does not have the tools to address the issues that we're facing today. The program was created in 1981, the first one. It was the area just south of PSU. And it was designed to address commuter parking issues. Basically, you come from outside the area, you park, and you avoid getting to the central city, for example, having to pay the meter. So that's why most of these permit areas are surrounded the central city, surrounded the meter area. So it's basically outsiders coming in, parking all day, riding, and moving on. We have 18 of these. So as a result of that, we were not actually trying to limit the permits within an area because the problem was people coming from outside to it. So there's a voting process, and it's all spelled out in Title 16. So we have 18 of these. We do allow limits on business permits, but not on residential permits, for the reason that I gave. You know, the main issue is outsiders coming in. The problem we have, the step to set up a permit area is about 8. We first receive a request, then PBAT staff goes out there and checks the situation. You know, is there truth to this? You know, sometimes people exaggerate the issue, but often it's true. You know, make sure that the program addresses the problem. Then we go through a public process and even a ballot process people vote in, and we establish a committee. That would be number 5. And then the committee develops a supplemental plan that is very customized to a particular area. And once we get that supplemental plan, we begin to issue permits, and then we begin the enforcement. So those are the steps for Northwest, which is the pilot that we do have going on. We're in a very unique area of the city. It's unlike others in the sense that it's very dense. You know, it pretty primarily makes use of a well-established area. So it's already had parking management for a long time, and so we haven't had to go through the steps 1 through 6, but rather we were tasked to go back to that area and amend the supplemental plan to use some of these tools that are currently not allowed. So basically, the limitation that we have today is that we want to solve not a commuter problem. You know, so basically, limitations today is that the existing program is only for commuter, and that's the problem, not for internal growth. So how is it that we're going to gain a lot more people, how is it that we can manage the parking supply and begin to address the issue of internal growth, not others coming in? So as a result of that, we have no tools to limit permits to residents. And also we have no tools to limit the number of permits issued as a whole area. And also, we are limited to annual fee that is based on the administration, and about $60 a month. You don't have the ability to provide a surcharge to the program. And that's what we did with Northwest. We lifted some of those restrictions and allowed them to a greater flexibility to come to develop a plan that addresses their needs, which is basically the growth that happens internally to Northwest. So basically, what they asked for today is that those tools, basically that we work with the neighborhood associations and the businesses out there and develop a public process in which we let everybody know that we are up to select up to 2 pilots in which we will, we'll go through the analysis. We hope to have people, neighborhoods, formally submit a request, and then we'll have a process in which we verify that there is a parking need out there, and then come to council with, two areas that we want to initiate a permit program, a new zone. Within it, then we'll have that will come with an ordinance to lift some of the restrictions that prohibit us to do what we need to do, like we did in Northwest. So that's basically the ask for today. We'll come back around March or later spring with results as to what are the 2 pilot areas and the ordinance that will allow us to do the work. So that's basically what's spelled out in the therefore part of the resolution.
So we don't have the 2 areas.
Not today.
We don't know which those 2 areas are at this time.
No, today right? Right. So today you will give us permission to to start a public process to invite a conversation, a solicitation, in which in a few months we'll have a public process with the neighborhoods and businesses, and then in a few months we'll come back to council with that answer, and then we'll.
Colleagues? Mr. Fritz?
Thank you, Mr. President. A couple of quick questions, I hope, and then a more detailed one. When you were here in 2016, the proposal was to change to require a simple majority of the addresses to vote into a permit area rather than 60%. Is that in the current proposal?
At this point, because we actually want to discover those questions, we are going to basically use the pilot to test those ideas, We have an existing process, so we want to test that out. But it could be that revisions, it could come out as a result as we try different areas, and that will help us. It will tailor the plan to those areas, but also we hope to learn what works, what better. Is it 60%? Is it 50%? So that we can learn and come back with an actual code amendment, and we'll know what worked better, what didn't work.
And you work with the local committee to decide
yes.
that? Okay. The low-income exemption, My understanding is the proposal is that if a person qualifies under the Housing Bureau subsidy program, they would be able to buy a permit at $60 rather than...
Again, it's something that we know we're going to pilot it. We've done that with Northwest. It's very likely that we're going to continue to do that. It was a great topic of conversation during our process, and it's something that we strongly think that is going to be the case. You know.
So notice that one of the areas that might be chosen is Boise, and obviously that's an area that's been very severely damaged by actions by the council in the past. Yeah. So that might be a good pilot to make sure that we are respecting all the needs of the neighbors who live there.
It's a great concern that we come up with a program that is fair to everybody.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, you said that residential permits are not limited, but in Northwest they are, that multifamily residents are not guaranteed to get a parking pass permit, whereas single family are. Could you address that issue, please?
I'll try. I'm not the expert on the topic. But generally speaking, you know, the committee, you know, you gave the ordinance, and they set up a committee, and they had the very tough job of getting 9,000 permits down to a more manageable level. You know, there are about spaces on the road for about 4,800, I believe, spaces. So the process of taking 9,000 permits down to a more manageable level, it's a very difficult task. So the question is, how do you do that? So the committee, you know, decided, you know, in an open way, you know, people, many discussions, many people commenting on it, and determined a way to do it. You know, at this point, in the pilot, there are some restrictions on some on businesses, for example. I believe it's 0.8 of an FTE.
That's too residential.
Yeah, residential. The larger the building, the more restrictions you have. So basically, you know, a unit with over 30 will have more restrictions on the amount of permits that you will get versus lower buildings.
And the charge has been made before us that that's discriminatory to people who rent and or live in multifamily buildings. What's the mechanism for those people to seek redress to get this changed?
Currently, it would be through the Stakeholder Advisory Committee. I mean, we staffed the Stakeholder Advisory Committee, and they came up with these rules, and we're simply helping them implement what they're imposing on themselves.
I see. And for a single-family residence, is the occupant allowed a permit even if they have a garage and or a driveway?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So that, I would suggest, be something to put to the committee. That doesn't seem fair that perhaps a single-family residence could have three parking spaces versus somebody in a multifamily has none.
Right. So those are the questions that we hope these pilots will help us. You know, as we develop something in a new area, we'll be addressing all those as well. Yeah.
Well, I think we are developing the Northwest program, so I would encourage you to look into that concern and to encourage the committee too, because I think the concern that's been raised is valid.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Other questions? I have one question. There's a letter in the record dated January 23 from Venture Portland giving their conditional support to the pilot projects. They have four specific concerns about engagement and communication. Are those all acceptable to you?
Yes. You're talking about the letter that came today?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Good. Thank you. Carla, how many people signed up to testify?
We have 8 people.
All right. We have 8 people. Everyone will get 3 minutes. Would you please call the first 3?
First 3 are Terry Parker, Sean Green, and Brad Baker.
Mr. Parker, why don't you kick us off?
Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity to testify. My name is Terry Parker. I live in Northeast Portland. The real issue here is the lack of parking supply. This toolkit represents the nose of the car haters under the tent. When PBOT convened the Stakeholder Advisory Committee in 2014, the committee included neighborhood and small business representation. Bicyclist and pedestrian representation that generally don't utilize on-street parking were also included. Motorists who compromise nearly 80% of the trips in Portland area and are the primary funding stakeholders for PBOT projects were unrepresented and left out. Ever since Sam Adams controlled PBOT on the City Council, and even with all the inclusionary speak at City Hall today, motorists have been unrepresented with no direct voice, proportionate, or civic representation on PBOT committees. Equity is absent. 72% of households in new residential developments without parking have one or more cars. 59% of low-income people drive to work. Not requiring off-street parking minimums for new multi-unit residential developments has created a politically generated shortage of parking space on the streets. When that shortage is followed up by adding a fee, it reeks of unethical social engineering. Motorists already pay for the streets curb to curb with gas taxes and other related fees. If curb space is considered to be a pay-for-use commodity, equity requires the bicycle community to also be charged for every foot of reserved curb space taken up with bike lanes. Likewise, for every bus zone and curb space curb extension that includes a bus stop, TriMet should be contributing the same. In Chicago, the mafia has a reputation for extorting money from small neighborhood businesses promising protection. A government-controlled car-hater mafia that extorts money from motorists through parking permit fees and or through tolling is no different. If the city wants to discourage car ownership, the city needs to set an example by eliminating its entire fleet of passenger vehicles and then do all the city's business by bus and bike. Finally, the dictatorial socialism of double charging motorists for curb space by adding parking permit fees on top of other taxes inequitably drives up the cost of living, particularly for the middle working class and retired seniors. Along with offering at least one high-ranking official a bonus to live within the city, it also defines Portland as an elitist city that essentially caters to the affluent. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Parker. Welcome.
My name is Sean Green. I'm here representing the Northeast Coalition of Neighborhoods. I serve on the board and co-chair of the Land Use and Transportation Committee. While I'm not representing them, I'm also a business owner and a member of Business for a Better Portland. I also served on the Centers and Corridors stakeholder advisory group that helped develop the parking toolkit. I just wanted to express support for implementation of the parking toolkit and the pilot parking permit areas. I know that multiple neighborhoods in Northeast have expressed interest in exploring parking permit areas. On November 21st of last year, we sent a letter expressing support from the coalition on approving the parking toolkit. I think that while in that letter we suggested that approving the toolkit now would allow stakeholders to start working towards a solution to better manage parking. Adjustments can always be made to the program while stakeholders are working through the implementation of a tool or after a tool has been implemented and there is data to inform the change. I think that speaks to Commissioner Fritz's point about the Northwest program. I think if we hold off on working on new programs, we're just going to delay the negative effects on neighborhoods to help try to better manage their parking. We know that developing and implementing a new parking area is likely to take, before permits are sold, likely a year or more. So NECN strongly supports you passing this. And I would also like to note that President Fish, I support your comments about the difficulty of using the meters, some of the older meters. But I would like to say that Parking Kitty will change your life.
I'm open to being changed. Thank you.
And finally, I would just like to say it was really great working with staff on the committee to help develop the toolkit. We're very fortunate to have such great staff and leadership at the Portland Bureau of Transportation. NECN is currently working with them on looking at high crash corridor areas in Northeast Portland and looking at the Broadway corridor. And I'd also like to note that I think Portland is very lucky to have such great volunteers within the city who are very knowledgeable about the issue. We're going to be hearing from more today, and I look up to people like Tony Jordan, who might be one of the most knowledgeable people in the city on parking, and we're so fortunate to have people like him. Thank you.
Hi there. I'm Brad Baker. I'm here from the Elliott Neighborhood Association and the Land Use and Transportation Committee there. We sent you a letter asking for you to pass the parking toolkit, and we're also very interested in exploring pilots with PBOT. Our neighborhood has grown a lot, and the current toolkit makes it very difficult for us to create a parking district in our neighborhood. The southern part of our neighborhood has grown a lot, and there's a lot of interest, and so we ask that you pass this so that we can begin that process. And then speaking for myself for just a moment, I think this is a great first step. We need to do a better job managing parking. We have a ton of supply, but it's poorly managed, and as a result, there's more driving than we otherwise might need. So if we can effectively manage our parking, we'll make more progress on our Vision Zero goals, our climate change goals, we'll fight congestion more. So I encourage you to think progressively about parking and managing it well. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thanks to all of you. Carla, would you please call the next three?
Our Tony Jordan, Sam Noble, and Joe Walsh.
Tony, that was quite a buildup.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Hopefully I can live up to the hype.
One sec. Do we have a third? Why don't you?
He's coming.
Oh, he's coming?
I'm
sorry.
I'm having a little bit of a congestion.
Oh, Joe, take
problem.
Your time. I'm sorry. I didn't.
Is that okay?
It's perfectly fine. Go ahead, Tony.
Hello. My name is Tony Jordan. Good morning. I was a member of the Centers and Corridors Parking Committee, and I've also been a member of three other parking committees in the last 4 years. 4 years. I'm here to ask you to please pass this resolution. As a member of the committee, the Centers and Corridors Committee, I can testify to the thoughtfulness and hard work that went into the development of the parking toolkit and the proposed framework for permits, including plenty of solutions and better ideas for the problems that might be happening in Northwest, to speak to Amanda Fritz's concern there, Commissioner Fritz. This policy is really needed to improve the livability and access to neighborhoods that are impacted by the growth that our city is experiencing and is expected to continue experiencing. This policy supports efforts in the comp plan and in the inclusionary housing policy and upcoming housing policy to build more affordable housing and to meet our climate goals. This is a foundation. Parking policy is really important to make sure that we don't have to spend a lot of money on building structured parking and to make sure that people can get by on the streets without too much traffic. I'm very excited to see what the professionals at PBOT and their partners in the neighborhoods, which should include beyond business and neighborhood associations, also community members that maybe aren't involved in those structures currently. And I think that they'll come back with a good plan that you can review and approve, hopefully. So that's it. I've been waiting for this for a long time, and I hope that we can finally take a step forward on parking management.
Thank you. Welcome.
Hi, my name is Sam Noble. I'm co-chair of the Buckman Community Association. Early last year, we sent a letter to Commissioner Saltzman in charge of PBOT at the request of one of our members. The sense of the community, of the neighborhood association, was essentially that a city that is making every effort to improve its public engagement invited our members, invited stakeholders from across the city, and spent a good bit of public money to go through a process to develop this particular toolkit. And as a neighborhood association, you can imagine that there's a strong diversity of opinions on parking policy, and the sort of the unifying feeling, sort of as an observer in the room, and as the meeting facilitator, was that we all collectively agreed that it really wasn't right to invite that public participation, spend the money on the sort of the development of the toolkit, and then leave it sitting on a shelf. That the right thing to do was to, from the association's point, was to have a public process to more openly discuss the right way to move forward with parking changes that could address some very, very much collectively agreed upon problems with our system. Buckman is a very dense neighborhood. Many, many areas of the neighborhood have a very, very limited parking supply. And so we all recognize that there are very real problems that are not adequately addressed by the two parking zones that we currently have in our neighborhood. And as this pilot, now speaking kind of for myself again, as this pilot proceeds to be developed and as it comes back, I think that our neighborhood association will provide far more commentary on the pros and cons of the specific pilot developed, or if you choose not to go forward with this in our neighborhood, after you start running a pilot, because again, we want to have our say. Everyone wants to say something about parking, but what we all really feel strongly about is that I'm really hesitant to misrepresent the view of my board, but without repeating myself, we want to be able to have a say about this as a concrete policy and not as kind of a list of, you know, as a set of pieces of paper on a shelf somewhere. And in order to do that, I think that we need to go forward and develop a pilot and maybe even implement it somewhere and see what happens. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Mr. Walsh.
Good morning. My name is Joe Walsh. I represent Individuals for Justice. I'd like to publicly state a rare event to compliment Commissioner Fish on his pointing out on the presentation of the small print. We brought this up a number of times, and we'll keep bringing it up, but I'm really glad you're joining us. So thank you very much for that. It's very annoying when you can't read or you don't have access to what people are talking about. And we have this habit of referring to things in initials. And when you do that, that really complicates things because nobody knows what you're talking about in TV land. And I think you want to include them or just shut it down. So that's a compliment directly to you, Commissioner Fish. We have some hesitation on this. We support the basic stage that you're at now because it seems to us that if we understand what you're doing, you're going to take more information in and then come with a final plan and then present it and then vote on it. Today is kind of just moving it along. Am I right on that? Okay. One of the things that we're concerned about is when someone gets a ticket, who do they appeal to? And this city has a hearing officer. And normally, that's where it would go. But the hearing officer works for the city. So I think you see where I'm going with this. All right? PR-wise, it's not a good thing to have to make a decision that you're going to allow buildings without off-street parking, which we know congests the on-street parking, so you create the problem, and then you write the tickets. My concern is obviously for the disabled, how they get there in time, and stuff like that. So I'm really concerned about that. The hearing officer, because I was involved in this system about a year ago. A year ago, his decisions were 94% in favor of the city. Pretty high. So my suggestion is that somebody look at the possibility of having an independent person look at these tickets when they're appealed. I don't care who it is. As long as people trust them, there must be somebody in this city that we all trust. All right? Amanda, I would trust you. I really would. On this issue, I would trust you. This issue. Not too many more, but this issue, I would trust. Thank you very much.
Mr. Walsh. And we'll have staff come up and answer the question once we get through the panel. So next three, please.
The last two who signed up are Star Stauffer and Mimi Gurman.
Good morning.
Kick us off. Welcome.
Star Stauffer, been a while, but I'm glad I came back today because I didn't know that we were going to be talking about this, and I was actually just talking about this in St. John's 2 days ago. We attended our last Neighborhood Association meeting where they talked about the residential infill project, which is density, density, density. And one of the things they mentioned during this presentation that was lengthy, boring, and too much jargon for the layperson to understand. One thing that stood out to me is that they're one way they want to solve the issue of density while also creating homes that people will want to actually live in because skinny houses are ugly and gross is removing the parking structure from those houses and having people park on the street. So Joe is right. If you sign off on something like that, you're creating the problem. And the issue with that is that in neighborhoods that are already being extremely heavily gentrified, and the cost of housing is skyrocketing, and the residential infill project does not contain contingencies for actual affordable housing, which, Nick, you've pointed out before with certain projects of building in the city is a constant issue. What's going to happen to these people who already can't afford their rent, who can't, you know, they already can't barely afford the gas to get back and forth to work or take their kids to school? And they come home, and now they've got to pay all this money to park or buy a permit, which monthly permits to park in this city are costly, very costly. And if they do get a ticket, there's really nobody to talk to. It doesn't go to some kind of fair court or anything like that. It's handled by the same department that wrote the ticket to begin with, which is handled by the city that created the problem to begin with. So it's like you're adding the salt to the wound for those that are being gentrified out, for those whose neighborhoods are being taken over by this density project, because you're not having contingencies for the affordable housing to ensure that people are not going to be kicked out and unable to afford to live there. And then on top of that, removing the parking structures from the RIP plan, from the skinny houses, is going to force them to park on the street. It's like coercion. You know, do this or you're going to get a ticket. Do that, pay that ticket, or we're going to boot your car. We know you can't afford it, but hey. And what happens to the people who are living on the street in their cars, their RVs? Where are they supposed to park when these structures go up? And how is this, where in that presentation did I see anything that was friendly for people who have disabilities? How are they supposed to use these parking structures? I mean, as it is, we can't even get real accessible parking in this city without it being a huge fight. And somehow, though, we can talk about $300,000 for signs to decrease speeds when people really don't care about signs. I mean, the city's priorities are out of control. If you want the parking situation to be solved, you really need to rethink the way you're going about density.
Thank you very much. Ms. German?
Hi, my name is Mimi German, and, well, I missed you, Star. I'm glad you're back. Your voice has been deeply missed here in this room. So there was a slide in the PBOT presentation, and it said had a whole bunch of numbers on it. And one of those, the first one, was PBOT gets a request that they want parking meters. I want that. I don't believe that. I'll just be out front with it. I don't believe that they get a request from, like, let's just say my neighborhood, St. John's. Somebody in St. John's says, hey, PBOT, let's call PBOT and get parking meters here. I don't think that ever is going to happen. I don't think it ever did happen. And I want to know if PBOT is going to make that number one transparent so that we can see who made the request for that, or did PBOT make it up? I think it's really important that this process is transparent. Right now, I didn't see anything about any kind of transparency so that we can see what's actually going on, other than the fact that they came in here and did a slideshow with print that was too small for everybody to see. And I see the problem with this is that a long time ago, this city decided that it was going to be okay for all developers building buildings to house people that were even sometimes affordable housing by definition, that they were allowed to build without having parking in those buildings. I was here. I've seen it happen every single time. Buildings get to go up with no parking. And now, like Star was saying, now we have to pay for that. I already pay taxes. I pay a meter for where I work in Northwest. A parking permit for that. I don't think that any of this is something that the people actually want. And PBOT was making that, and the Neighborhood Association people who were here today are saying that, oh, we've had lots of discussions on this and people want this. I think if you want an honest discussion about this, you'll put some kind of flyer out. You'll notify the entire city of Portland and get people's comments on this to find out if they actually want meters in their neighborhoods. Because I'm guessing that most people don't. I'm guessing most people can figure out where to park and remain pissed off at the city for not creating, making the developers create their own parking in the buildings that they're building. So this is a city problem that was created by the city, and I'm tired of paying for your mistakes. You guys need to figure it out and not give this a yay vote, an aye vote. You have options. You always have options. Vote no.
Thank you very much. Dan, can we have staff come up just to answer a couple of questions? And then we'll entertain a motion. Madam Director, we had one question about who actually passes on parking tickets. Could you just give us a very brief 101?
Yeah, sure. So when the ticket is issued, if there's an appeal, it's run through the state, so it goes to the circuit court.
I see. So an independent judge decides whether the ticket is valid or not.
That's correct.
Okay. And do our hearing officers hear any of those appeals?
No,
I
they do
think
not.
So. Yeah.
And we had another person who raised the question about transparency in terms of understanding if there is a request from some neighborhood, will that be made public? Will that be part of a future report to council?
Yes, when we come back to council on the two pilot areas, we'll go over what the stakeholder advisory committees are recommending for implementation. That'll be a very open process with you all.
And that will include whatever we've heard from the affected neighborhood?
Yes, it should.
Because there may not be an overlap completely on the stakeholder group is one thing, but who is actually initiating the process and requesting, we'd like to know that as well.
Absolutely.
Colleagues?
We will follow up.
Hearing none?
Well, I just have a clarification. So the issue about, I think in one of your slides, you and Commissioner Fritz asked you a question. So people have to affirmatively vote to form a parking management
area. So the one with the numbers were number steps 1 through 8. The first step is basically that PIBA receives a request from a neighbor association. We want to initiate a permit. The lady mentioned meters. This is for permits. The discussion is about permits. So then we receive those permits. That's how we have 18 of them. Then we basically hear their case. And then we go and validate it. Then we work with the community to develop the boundaries and what the program's going to look like. And then there's a voting process for the people within that area that are going to be affected. And there's notification and we work with the business association. And then when that voting happens, then we start a committee which has representatives from the area, from the neighborhoods, and from businesses. And then they develop the plan. So all of that is open for conversations and input throughout the process.
Okay.
I'll entertain. Oh, go ahead.
I just have one question. The question was raised about people with disabilities. Would they be required to pay the permit fee as well? To be determined.
Yeah. I mean, it'll all come through the committee that we form on who's going to be charged, what amount, and how many permits can be issued, et cetera.
I think the current program, though, says that they're at least not counted in the cap. Is that correct? Everybody's guaranteed to get one.
Yes. We'll be leaning to something like that. there are special rules for disabled parking, so we want to make, and we adopted them, we improved them a few years ago. So as part of this discussion, we did not feel the need to actually change that. And
I would, again, ask in Northwest whether that's the case even in...
And it shouldn't affect the supply too much. They're not that common.
Yeah. Thank you.
So, colleagues, I'll entertain a motion to accept the resolution. It's a resolution, so we'll just take a vote. Carla, please call the roll.
Fritz? Well, thank you very much for all of your work. The last be it resolved says the City Council acknowledges the dedication and hard work by the citizen volunteers who serve on the Stakeholder Advisory Committee for the Centers and Corridors Parking Project. And I also want to compliment you on the toolkit. I found it very easy to read and understandable, and it's directed to people who might be interested, and so I think that's a very good way to do it. I'm comfortable voting for this because the pilots will come back to Council for approval, including discussion of all the details therein. I want to flag that I will be very upset if subsidizing TriMet passes or making them free is not part of any program, because I think we do have that as a comprehensive plan policy now that we're seeking to reduce or eliminate TriMet costs, and we want to encourage that. I share some of the concerns, as you know, and have for the last 9-plus years about off-street parking, and that we are, by not requiring enough off-street parking, we are, in effect, privatizing the public right-of-way and having less spaces for the general public to come and go. I don't think it necessarily needs to add more cost. The question was raised about the skinny houses. We haven't yet that process. The refill project is still going through the process, but... A parking space in a driveway is a way to provide off-street parking with no cost. It doesn't have to be in a garage. And so I know that's only partly within your bailiwick, but it's something that I will continue to follow closely. So thank you very much for this report. Aye.
Saltzman.
Thank you for this report and for the work you're going to do to identify two new areas and test out some of these ideas. Aye.
Udaly.
Thanks for the report. This is clearly a contentious issue. It has been for decades. And I'm really pleased that we're going to be seeking more community input, because it's clear that a blanket solution won't work for the entire city, and we really need plans that are tailor-made to the neighborhoods. I want to put in a request, if I may, which is that it's incredibly hard to figure out how to request a dedicated, accessible parking spot online. And I think if I have had a hard time figuring that out, that other community members will as well. So I'd love for that to be made easier. Aye.
Fish.
Good discussion. And by the way, I appreciated in the PowerPoint that you actually put the resolved section of the resolution in the PowerPoint, which I think is a good practice, because most people actually don't have access or unlikely to have access to the underlying documents. So I like the fact that you put the actual language in your PowerPoint. So thank you. Aye. The resolution passes. Thank you all.